Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Welcome everybody to episode number 209 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This is the Weekender, which means it's almost the weekend. We didn't get around to recording this last week, so we're doing it this week. And this will cover just this weekend, more or less, because I think we'll do it again next week so we get back on schedule and all of that good stuff. But anyway, I'm Russ, K5TUX. Over there is Cheryl, W5MOO.
Hello, everyone.
And fresh back from Red Lodge is Bill, NE4RD.
Good evening, everyone.
Soaking up all that 4 inches of fresh powder out there.
Oh, yeah. Gotta go up there for the fresh poo.
Wonderful. So does Cheryl have her recipe corner up, or do we have to move on?
It won't connect.
Yeah, it will. Keep working on it. All right. So I've got a few things here, but Bill has something he wants to talk about that's not actually in the Etherpad right now. So do you want to talk about your thing first?
That's not in the Etherpad?
Is it not in the Etherpad, or is it somewhere down at the bottom?
All my stuff's in the Etherpad.
Oh, okay. Well, it must be down at the bottom then.
Yeah. Well, no, I got all the contests and stuff like that in there.
Oh, is that what you were going to do? You didn't have a thing?
Oh, a thing? No. I'm
You're just like, yeah, no, not Jeez. Prepared with a thing.
You don't I have went a skiing thing? Today. Come on.
Oh, you're supposed to be prepared. We're all prepared.
You want me to prepare something? I can make something up.
There you go.
All right. Well, give us a couple of things to do this weekend, and then we'll move on to me, I guess.
Alrighty, well, we have some things coming up in amateur radio this weekend. We have the big ARRL International DX contest. It's the CW variety, and it's running from the 17th, I think it's Friday, right? 0000 Zulu, all the way to the 18th, 2400 Zulu. And, of course, you can grab that information over on the ARRL site. That's a pretty big contest. A lot of people can get their DXCC and stuff like that completed. CW conditions, you know, CW always goes a little bit further, so you can definitely do well in this contest. I believe they have even some classes that you can use your little decoder ring there for CW in case you're not a proficient CW decoder, but. Yeah, enjoy that contest. It'll be going on all weekend, so at least the sideband areas will be clear on the radio frequencies this weekend. Next weekend, we have another two big contests coming up. We got the CQ 160 meter contest, single sideband. It runs from the 23rd to the 25th, 2200 Zulu to 2200 Zulu, and of course that's over on the CQ 160 website. And of course, 160 will be in. Yeah, pretty good condition. All the low bands have been pretty excellent. So 40 and down have been pretty good with these low spot cycles. I did hear that there's like a flare coming in though here for this weekend. So that ARRL contest might not be that great. Also next weekend we have the North American QSO Party RIDI version. So this is the fun little NAQP sponsored by the National Contest Journal. If you didn't burn up your rig and your sound card devices, what was that, last week or the week before doing the CQ Worldwide WPX contest in RIDI, this is a great fun one to do. So practice up for a couple weekends or second weekend from now and enjoy this contest. It's a quick, easy exchange, and you'll have a lot of fun. And 40 meters will probably be the money band just because of the way the conditions have been acting lately. What else we got going on? We have a special event station coming up here too. We have from the 17th to the 19th, we have a Frozen Lake portable station. This is an ice station, Whiskey Zero Juliet Hotel. He's going to be set up over there on a frozen lake in Washington County, Minnesota at Grid Square Echo November 34. and his website's www.radioham.org, so you can find out more information. I believe he's going to be doing some satellite passes and stuff like that. He does have a small block of time there in the middle of the day, late afternoon or early afternoon, set up. So I think he's just going out there for that part of the day each day over that time period. Another special event station we have coming up here next weekend is on February 24th. We have Kyle Anderson, KF5WRV, is activating one of the Boy Scouts of America call signs, K2BSA Portable 5. He'll be over in Chandler, Oklahoma at the Baden-Powell encampment. And there'll be a lot of scouts over there, and they'll be getting on the air, and they will be on HF. So look for them in the upper portions of the general band on the HF frequencies. So if you have a contest or a special event station you want us to mention, or anything else in this area, please send us feedback. And you put in here, you put in here OzarkCon. So we talked about this stuff. Oh, okay. Yeah. You talked about that. In the last podcast, you talked about all the other, fests and stuff that are coming up that you're going to be at.
Well, I don't know that we're going to be at OzarkCon. It's a QRP, group getting together down in Branson. And it was brought up because we mentioned Joe, K0NEB, who's apparently going to be there doing a talk or whatever, and just kind of hanging out and being with other people at OzarkCon.
Ah, that's hosted by the 4-State QRP group. Yep. Oh, very good. Yeah.
So if you're into QRPing, you should get down there. I looked at the attendee list. It's already pretty good size, so it looks like it'll be pretty fun. There'll be at least 100 or 150 QRPers down there.
Wowzers.
And you can jump in and get on the dummy load contest and see how many contacts you can make on your dummy load.
Nice.
Apparently that's a real thing.
I guess so. Yeah, they're not perfectly efficient. Some signal does escape, but not much.
And that, I guess, is the whole idea behind QRP. So there you go. Yeah, well, not sure. Broadcasting on your dummy load, but you know. All right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it looks like I got a full calendar. I was just looking through their event list, and yeah, looks pretty fun. They're even doing a hidden oscillator hunt too. So,
and did we say what date that was?
It is April. Oh, that's April.
Yeah,
that's
April 6th and 7th. Yeah,
April 6th and 7th. All
right. So we'll probably mention this again. That's Friday, April 6th, and Saturday, April 7th. So yeah, look for that if you're planning on being in or around Branson, Missouri.
So it's not relevant for this weekend, but you can use this weekend to make your travel arrangements.
There you go.
Yeah, book your hotel, get your room.
And trust me, in April in Branson, there are going to be plenty of rooms available, so you'll be all set.
Yeah, varying in price anywhere from $20 a night to $500 a night.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the place they have at the they're having at the Stone Castle Hotel and Conference Center, they got some special rates for it. So they got a $69.99 for a double bed type unit. And for $139.99, you can get a suite with koozie units.
And their suites are like themed suites.
Did you say jacuzzi? Because it came out as koozie. So I was wondering if they were just going to give you a beer can holder.
Yeah, no, jacuzzi, sorry. Okay. The gate probably knocked me off.
Yeah, probably. All right, so we can segue nicely from koozies into scotch, I guess. And I will talk about my scotch for the evening, which is the Auchentoshan 12-year-old. And Auchentoshan is a lowland scotch, which is kind of nice because they don't talk about lowland scotches a lot. And there actually aren't that many distilleries in the lowland region of Scotland. So it's always nice to find a lowland scotch. So the Auchentoshan 12 is bottled at 40%, which is 80 proof. We already mentioned that it's lowland. The color is a nice dark honey color with a touch of a reddish hue, like a mahogany. So it's got a nice look to it, especially sitting on your whiskey shelf at home. The nose on it, I've already taken some of this earlier, but I've got some here in front of me now, of course. The nose on it is primarily a nice cereal note, a nice like oat barley kind of smell to it, and there's a little bit of lime citrus in there, and it's not overly complex on the nose, but it's nice. I mean, there's certainly nothing to balk at here. The taste is a little bit more complex than the nose, for sure. You get a nice creamy note to it. You have a dry grass taste. You also have a dry grain taste, which is kind of similar to what the nose was, that sort of oat barley malted, sensation that you get. There's also a faint nuttiness, almost like a filbert or macadamia, something like that. And then there's a tiny, tiny little bit of ginger at the very back. So overall, it's got a really nice taste. It's very low in proof for scotch, so it's a very easy drinking scotch. And you can find this pretty reasonably for a 12-year-old. I think we paid $55, maybe somewhere in there. You can probably find it for a little bit less than that. And it's pretty available. It's double matured. It's matured in Oloroso sherry casks as well as bourbon barrels. So you can get the hints and the notes from both of those kinds of aging. So overall, I enjoyed this scotch a lot. It's very easy to drink. It's very approachable. It's not very expensive, but it's also not super interesting. So on the rating scale, I'm going to give it an 87 because it is nice. It's pleasant, but it's not really going to knock your socks off. But if you're looking for something that everybody can drink when your friends come over and it doesn't cost a lot out of pocket, you know, give it a try. The Auchentoshan 12-year-old, and it's pretty much available anywhere. So go get some. All right, so now, can you do your bit? All right, yay!
Woohoo!
All right, so do your bit. Let's talk about food. It's Cheryl's Recipe Corner time.
Yes, and this week's recipe is a recipe that I remember fondly from my childhood, mostly because this was the dessert that my dad always prepared for holiday dinners, picnics, whatever. Russ, regretfully, is not a fan of pineapple or maraschino cherries, silly guy. So I don't get the chance to prepare it very often. In fact, I haven't prepared it at all in years. But I hope that you will prepare it or one of the variations I have mentioned in the latter part of the recipe. And this week's recipe is pineapple upside down cake. And you need some melted butter, some brown sugar, pineapple, pecans, eggs, sugar, vanilla, all-purpose flour, baking powder, salt, and some maraschino cherries. And get all that stuff mixed up, toss it in a pan, toss it in the oven, and you have a yummy cake. Or you can do a peach one, which I might be a little luckier getting him to try, but I doubt it because he doesn't like peaches either.
What is wrong with you? You'd have a better chance with the pineapple, honestly.
Would you?
No, would you?
No. Would you eat it?
Probably not. You know I don't like fruit pies unless they are...
It's not a pie, it's a cake.
It's a fruit cake, right. I'm very picky about sweets. So I like apple pie and I like white cake or yellow cake. And
this is yellow cake.
Well, it's yellow cake with fruit in it, which is
not
like,
in it. No, it's on it.
On it. Well, I guess you could scrape the fruit off and then I'll eat the white cake. So sure,
you can make it if you want. Anyway, there's a variation for a peach upside down cake and a cranberry orange upside down cake as well. So.
All right, there you go. I think it's a little more involved than you kind of let on, isn't it? You just said, poof, you have a cake, don't you? There's a little more to it, isn't there not?
No, it's mix everything together, dump in a pan, and poof, well, you have a cake. You
don't
know.
You put the pineapple on the bottom, and then you pour the cake on top of it.
And you put the pineapple and the cherries on the bottom.
You can make a little design, and then you pour your batter over top of it.
Right, and then dump the batter in on top, bake it, and when you take it out of the pan...
You flip it upside down,
and therefore it's an upside-down cake.
Right. Yeah. All right, but anyway, the recipe will be in the show notes, of course, so if you want to make yourself a nice pineapple upside-down cake, or peach upside-down cake, or cranberry orange upside-down cake, you will be able to do that. Or at least you'll have the instructions to do it. Instructions don't necessarily give you the talent or the dexterity, but, you know, they're a good start.
There you go.
All right. So, moving on from there, I have my weekend challenge for your amateur radio pursuits, I guess. And I'm going to try and do this one myself. I've tried to do all of the ones that I've challenged. I mean, it would be kind of silly of me to issue a challenge and then not do it myself. I had a hard time with the last one, which is the FT8 DX. I was not getting a lot of DX on my FT8 screen. So I think I made one contact in Argentina, and I think that was the only one I made. So I was nowhere near 10, but at least I gave it a try.
Yeah.
So this week I wanted to challenge people to get out there on their VHF or UHF units and check into a local net, whether it be an emergency net or an Aries net or just a rag chew net or whatever. Just talk to your local hams because I kind of feel like I should be doing that more. And I feel like the idea of getting together on a VHFnet is kind of going away. It seems like it is to me anyway. That's purely subjective and based on nothing in particular. But I feel like it's becoming a lost art.
Oh, we have a like a daily morning net here that they run during the week. It's called like Uncle Don's Morning Net, and it's on the local repeater. I sometimes listen to it if I'm out here in the garage because I have the radio out here. And then of course they have the I think they do like three other nets in the evenings. They do like a I think there's a ladies net for the YLs. They just started that one probably about like six months ago or so. They got enough traction of females in the local club here that they started doing that. There's a it's just a regular like maybe it's a might be like an Aries net or something like that. And then they have some other net I can't remember.
Yeah, we have several nets around here.
They still keep them up. They've only canceled a couple of them. Like we used to have a tech net on Wednesday nights. That one sort of kind of went by the wayside. I haven't heard that one on in a while. And we had a 10 meter net too here in town, which was kind of fun on Fridays, but that went away too.
Part of my reason for issuing this particular challenge is because Cheryl can do it.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Because VHF and UHF are in your privileges. So, and the radio is right there. So
and maybe there's a YL's net too. So
there may be. We'll have to go take a look, but I'm going to try and get Cheryl on the air. We're also going to try and get Cheryl to get her general at Hamvention. So, yep, we'll see how that goes. But we got a little bit of a hill climb there, but we'll get there.
No, okay.
Yeah, we have a hill climb. I'm still stuck at the bottom.
We're working on it. Don't worry.
We are.
We will.
Okay. TikTok.
Right. Yeah, I know. All right. And also, if you get a chance, check out LHS Shop Talk. A new one was published not that long ago. What, three or four
last
days
week.
Ago?
Yeah,
yeah last week. So, yeah, check that out. We'll do another one here before too long. The last one actually came out pretty good. There's actual ham radio and science and Linux and open source information in there.
Yep.
It's not just Bill and I shooting the crap, although that is a lot of it. but we try and make it entertaining, and a lot of people have signed up on our YouTube channel since we started publishing videos over there. Our subscriptions have gone up to from 50 to like 120.
Wow.
Like in a very short amount of time. So, and most of the feedback, well, if not all of the feedback, has been positive. So it's excellent. So check out our YouTube channel. Don't forget about it. It's stuff that you're not going to hear on your podcast feed.
For sure.
All right. And I think that's about it. We didn't record this at our normal time, so the chat room is a little bit thin, but we want to thank Don for showing up at least in between satellite passes.
Yeah, he's probably on one of the birds right now, so get over there and work him.
There you go. All right. So everybody have a fantastic weekend. Try out some of the stuff we've talked about, and we'll be recording episode number 210 on Monday. Have a good one. Take care, everybody.
73.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHSpodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or Hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8:00 p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net:8008/LHS live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.